More than a dozen different books, including the Eastern Orthodox Bible and the Quran, were used last week to swear in new members of Congress, though they should have drawn the line at being sworn in on 50 Shades of Grey. Chelsea liked that one.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West announced they're expecting their fourth child via surrogate. Kanye said after his last meeting with Trump, it just reminded him how much he loves babies.
51,000 TSA agents are currently working without pay. Fortunately, there are 51,000 people who are in it for the pure joy of groping strangers.
President Trump gave a televised speech tonight about what he calls a crisis at the border. The speech couldn't have been less tolerant unless the event was hosted by Kevin Hart.
And finally, it's day 16 of the government shutdown. Well, I guess it's inspiring to see that someone is sticking to their New Year's resolution. And the Trump Report starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, that's right. Welcome back to the Trump Report. Welcome to 2019. Thanks for staying up late for us here on the Trump Report. I'm Christian Blatt. Returning triumphantly, Chelsea Galicia.
Yes, hello. Happy New Year.
I feel like I haven't seen you in forever, and it's about a month, so that's practically forever.
I missed you. Missed the show.
Thank you. I've missed the show. Tamara, just kidding. I missed you, too. It's a little joke.
Tamara,
I still feel like I haven't seen you in a while. It's been a few weeks as well.
Yep.
And thank you for being here, and thanks for the funny up top.
That Kevin Hart punchline.
I think I added an extra word to one of the other ones as well, but that's all right.
We're rusty. We're like a few weeks off. That's all right. We'll get back.
It's past our bedtimes. You know, it's 9:30 Pacific time, and we know that means it's after midnight for those of you on the East Coast. So thanks for staying up late. I'm going to actually start with a rare comment from the chat. Because our friend Storageyard Resident says, waiting 5 hours for this show. Great Trump speech while we were waiting. So thank you, Storageyard Resident, for waiting. And he says, build the wall, and I don't care who pays for it. I think that that's a nice way to boil down President Trump's 8 minutes. I'm going to just sort of, I'll ask both of you what you thought of it. I thought that it was overly prepared, it was poorly read, and he looked so uncomfortable on TV. And then Schumer and Pelosi spoke, and I was like, man, he was great. He was so loose and seemed natural. There's a lot of memes already going around. My favorite was someone did some Photoshop. They put Dracula next to the Bride of Frankenstein. And I was like, I mean, I think that those two were a little bit livelier than Schumer and Pelosi. And that's sort of the point, is like all they really need to do is just come off seeming slightly normal. But I guess when you've been a politician that long, you're just not capable of it. Chelsea, your thoughts on the speech and the rebuttal? And then I'll ask you a follow-up in a second.
Ooh, exciting times.
I almost asked you three questions in a row, and I felt like that was too many.
I was surprised how short it was, because I thought that he would take it upon himself to just riff after
a while. Will the judges allow me to throw a, that's what she said, or is it probably not appropriate? Because it's 2019, and I don't know if we've moved past that.
I would love for us to have moved way past that.
Fair enough. That's why I asked, and the only judge who matters answered. Before it started, they said it was going to be, well, because it had been written ahead of time, they said it was going to be about 8 minutes. I think it was like 9.5. It just shows that, you know, reading is fundamental, kids.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anything in there that I hadn't heard before. A lot of the same, you know, fear.
Calling the wall almost exclusively a barrier, that's a little new. You know? He didn't use the word wall till like the end. He's like, the barrier's the wall, I gotta go.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah. And conceding like, oh, because the Democrats want it to be steel, I'm willing to do steel. That's interesting. The facts were very, and I use that term loosely, I was actually did air quotes under the desk. I'm not sure what use that is to do air quotes under the desk, but the facts that he recited are, as usual, misleading. And as I sat there, I imagined, what if this was a speech that he was giving on gun violence? Like, if he was that passionate about the number of people that are dying and, you know, providing safety for Americans and all... It would have been actually, I would have been like, yes, this is a great speech because, yes, we do need to look at this like a crisis. And it is a humanitarian crisis. And he did take a vow to protect Americans. And there are thousands of needlessly lost lives. But, you know, all of these same arguments would make sense if you were making a speech about gun control. So I thought that maybe both sides of the aisle could sort of come to understand each other if they looked at it from that perspective. Like, what the Republicans are saying about the wall is what Democrats are arguing about gun control and gun violence. So I gave myself creativity points for seeing something mm-hmm. in that. And then I was really disappointed with the Democrats' response. And I feel like it might be a theme of mine that I say that I'm disappointed by the Democrats. The reason I was disappointed was because they also didn't actually rebut the specific facts that were discussed. They spoke in generalities of the same talking points that we've heard over and over, which are fair, yeah, but not really entertaining. I think
the commentators on, and we'll talk about some of the fact-checking after Tamara gets to weigh in, they were all able to do some fact-checking. So obviously their speech was prepared, but I mean, I understand how a teleprompter works. You can rewrite it pretty close up until they start reading it, and even as they're going, you can actually change it. So if you wanted to just add... You know, there's a lot of facts that we have to check, but here's one that's wrong. Just give them one or two.
I mean, here's a very simple one. The heroin that comes across the southern border, it actually comes through ports of entry. So it won't be stopped by a wall if it's coming through where people are legally coming through. That's not going to stop the drugs.
It is if you deputize the wall as a DEA agent. But what were you going to say, Tamara?
I was going to say, I believe the very first thing Nancy Pelosi, they didn't specifically say... okay, as far as the murders and the rapes and everything that he cited as these like tremendously like heart-wrenching things, you know, there's nothing specifically, but I believe the first thing that Nancy Pelosi said was, once again, facts have been unchecked and misleading and things like that. She did say that right off the bat, but then also, but yes, nothing was specifically addressed.
Right,
after
but
that.
Then no facts to correct the.
Yeah, I don't know half if that's facts just, or you half know, lies. In an eight minute, maybe that was a lot shorter than they were expecting, so they didn't have time
I
don't know.
I mean, I was reading articles today, and they were all pre-fact checking.
Yeah, you can write cue cards and just like, here's one fact that we've checked, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I think that. Look, they've both been elected officials longer than any of our lifetime, and you'd think that they would be comfortable reading. You'd think that they would be flexible enough that you could throw something at them to just say, like, hey, point out this one thing, because they, as I said, we'll go through some of the actual fact-checking. The other question I wanted to ask you, Chelsea, how excited were you to hear that Bernie did a rebuttal?
Well, I was so bummed that I heard about it so late that I didn't have time to watch it
yet. I know. So,
but if I'm
surprised
you're
not watching it right now.
I know that's true. If I know Bernie at all, he's talking about how the real crisis is about climate change and how many people don't have health insurance and how many people are, I don't know, maybe talking about how many people are dying of our failure to control, you know, guns and, you know, all sorts of things that if you look at the numbers and of what kills Americans, it's like bad diet, bad air, guns.
Well,
those are the
Bernie's not a big anti-gun guy, though, because he wants to get elected in Vermont. So that is his one issue that doesn't fit into that.
But if we're looking at the numbers, like I dare to go over and listen to Fox
News. And I knew if I mentioned Bernie, we would go down a little side avenue. But that's all right. It seems relevant to the conversation.
But so the emphasis is on about how many American lives are lost because of illegal immigrants. And I'm quoting this from Hannity, you know, Jesus of the right.
You mean that that liberal shill, Sean
right.
Hannity?
He said 4,000 lives lost in the last 2 years. Well, okay, that is a big number, but 70,000 people died from overdoses in 2017. And now people are going to say, oh, but those drugs, heroin, came from the South. Well, actually, people became addicted to heroin because they started on legal pain medications that were pushed by doctors and actually by the drug makers. So, I mean, if we really want to protect more Americans, let's take Purdue and hold, now that, you know, corporations are people, and take them to trial for, you know, mass murder of 70,000 people in 1 year.
You mean Purdue, the chicken company?
No, they're also a pharmaceutical company.
Is it the same company?
I don't believe
so. Yeah, no, it is. Yeah.
Is it?
So no. It's for idea, chickens actually. That are... Well, let me go through some of the fact checks. Let's see. So as Chelsea pointed out, yes, government statistics show much of the heroin actually comes not over the unguarded border, but through ports of call. Let's see. The number of illegal border crossings has been going steadily down over the past 10 years. Despite President Trump's assertion that they are on the rise, and the government reports that there is more outward traffic than inward traffic. So that's really what the wall should be doing, preventing Americans from going into Mexico. That's
actually
really
that reminds me. Trump said that weapons were coming through the border. Weapons, actually, guns go down. He's forgetting how the drug market works. It's money and drugs go south. No, money and weapons go south, drugs come north. And the drugs come north because of the strong demand for them. So if we help Americans curb their appetite for drugs, then that will ruin the demand.
I mean, you're trying to get everybody to be vegetarians more likely to be successful than getting us to give up our drugs. We need our drugs. Look, so, you know, how are we going to get through life without them? Am I right, Tamara, or am I right?
What were you saying?
If people want their drugs, then let them have their drugs.
Let's have American-grown, locally sourced heroin. Let's
USA,
not import...
I only buy my crack at farmer's markets.
Good for you.
Right. So, yeah, this is the kind of progress that I believe is good for America.
I just want to get through a few more of these points. As for the trade deal President Trump mentioned with Mexico that would pay for the wall, the trade deal is not complete, and while President Trump claimed law enforcement professionals have requested the $5.7 billion funding for the wall, it was actually the president who requested it himself, and he who said that he'd be responsible for the shutdown. These fact checks come from the Fox News Channel. So
very interesting.
Yeah, when it's Shepard Smith, and they're very quickly to disown him, you know, for a lot of reasons. But one of them being that he might not be in lockstep. I'm sure Sean Hannity came to refact check what Shep had to say.
One of the other things I kept hearing from Fox News over and over, besides their outrage that people were calling this a manufactured crisis. And they kept saying, how do you tell that to the family of this person and the family of that person? That's not a response to whether this is a crisis or not. But if we want to talk crisis, of course, let's talk about the things that are really killing Americans. But they kept saying...
Kanye.
That's one thing.
Okay.
They kept saying over and over...
Killing, though? I mean, he's doing damage.
Yeah, but you know, makes you want to kill yourself, kills you. It's the same
thing. One of the points that they kept bringing up over and over again was the fact that Hillary and Biden and everybody voted for...
Hillary's like, what?
I know.
Yeah, I mean...
Voted for...
Biden says that he's the only one who can run for president. We'll talk about that later. But Hillary's just like... I'm just keeping my head down. Like, come on.
That
leave me alone for
one. That back in 2006 and 2013, that these people all voted for a wall, and the only reason that they've changed their mind is just because it's Trump.
Right, and they've voted for a wall that's there, and there is funding.
It was not for a wall. It was for fencing. Right. And it was other things that...
So that's the barrier that's there. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to... Well... Should I just weigh in on my...
Yes, please do.
So, okay. The speech in general, I'd say from a comedian standpoint, it's very disappointing when somebody announces a new special and then all they're doing is just reciting their old material. That's always very disappointing. There was nothing new that Trump said that he hasn't already tweeted.
Well, he even brought back sniffing a lot, which I hadn't heard him do in a while. He was a little sniffly in it, and because I was actually listening to the audio of CNN, it was really heightened. I'm just like...
I guess so, because I didn't know. Like doing other things as I was listening to it. I didn't notice that. But I do think that the commentators on CNN after the speech said that, I don't remember which one said this, but I do think this is absolutely true, and that using it, saying barrier now instead of wall, claiming that the Democrats want steel, that that so he's going with steel because that's what the Democrats wanted.
Better not be Chinese steel that has tariffs on it.
Nobody said anything about that. But what he's doing from his, you know, he's great at marketing, is that he's not going to get a wall. He's going to claim that the fencing that is already in place by using things like barrier and claiming he's changing his verbiage so that he will claim success in 2020. He will say, like, I said that we would have barriers, and we do. Look where we have them. They're made of steel and this and that. And he's rebranding this idea of the wall to make it sound successful for him, because he's not going to get a concrete wall from sea to sea like his original campaign promise.
No, and this is definitely something that was brought up, and it was also on CNN, and I don't know who to give the credit to, but it was such a salient point. I mean, I am going to steal it, but I'm saying that I'm stealing it. They did make the point that if he were to try and build the wall that he's talking about, you would have to, along the border in especially Texas and also in Arizona, you would have to declare eminent domain on ranch land. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, especially a state like Texas, you know, the we're ready to secede from the Union at the drop of a hat. You know, that's not state where you're going to have that kind of interference. Like, yeah, we're building this wall on your land. That, yeah, we get it. You own it. But now we're telling you that there's going to be a wall here. A Republican governor of Texas.
The Republican representative of West Texas, Hull, I think was his last name. His district covers from like El Paso to like the basically a third of the entire southern border of the United States is his district. And he's a Republican. And he was like, nobody wants this wall. Anybody that has any knowledge about the border does not want this wall, does not think it's a good idea.
And the reason that the fencing that was in the acts back from 2006 and 2013 didn't actually get implemented is because the Department of Homeland Security was like, actually, fencing doesn't make sense in all these places. So there was an amendment that was introduced by Ted Cruz's predecessor that said that they don't have to do the fencing and all that in areas where they deem that it doesn't make sense. And that's why we don't have it. So, and it was also a lot less money than $5 billion. It was about $1 billion.
I want you to finish your thought, Tamara.
Well, and I just also want to go back to the fact checking. And I think the main one that needs to be checked is that claiming that illegal immigrants have committed all of these crimes, when statistically we haven't been able to accurately ascertain if these are true or not, because when somebody's illegal, you cannot pinpoint them to a lot of the crime statistics that Trump has cited in the past are from legal immigrants, not illegal immigrants. So to make these sweeping claims about all these horrible pull at your heart stings crimes that he commented, they're so inaccurate because there's no way to gauge them. And the statistics that we do have for recent immigrants and the limited statistics that we do have on illegal immigrants all show that they commit far less crimes than legal citizens.
And no matter how heinous these are, I don't know if they're any less heinous how people are shooting up movie theaters, churches, schools, bars. I think that probably pulls at everyone's heartstrings probably just the same, and more people are impacted by that than illegal immigrants, which isn't to say that we should ignore this issue. I'm just saying that we should balance it with the priorities of things that are actually harming Americans.
Right, exactly. And I mean, it's very easy to say that Democrats don't want this wall because they don't care about border security, even though they're saying, well, we do care about border security.
And scientific technology that will better screen for drugs and things like that, and better security and things.
And they tried to pass, you know, legislation that had come through the Senate, and, you know, President Trump was ready to sign it. And then basically Ann Coulter told him he was a pussy if he didn't fight for the wall. And he's just like, well, now I got to dig in. I think that's the scenario that makes the most sense. Like, that's exactly what happened because of the timing in which he's like, yeah, I'm not signing that. So they were all ready to sign this. Republicans were on board. And I mean, I understand, you know, look, Mitch McConnell is a pushover. He's not really going to be the guy to take a stand to Trump. You kidding me? He's just like, yeah, we're just going to just sit back and, you know. But if they wanted to try and reopen the government, they could. But what I wanted to really focus on is the price tag. So it's $5.7 billion. It seems like it goes up every time that somebody mentions it. And I just remember a time when Republicans never wanted to spend $5 billion on anything. You know, it was always like, look at the Democrats. All they want to do is tax and spend. They want to spend all this money. Oh, by the way, we need $5 billion for a wall. And look, the government spends an obscene amount of money on stuff we don't need. But this is like a lump sum where you're just like, yeah, this is what we need it for.
But that's only the first part. I mean, nobody has said that 5.7 was a total amount that would be needed.
I mean, even if it was, that's so much money to ask for to build something that, you know, he had a Republican Senate and a Republican House. His wall didn't get built, you know, so what makes him think he's going to do it now? And clearly he knows that he's not going to do it now. It's just the difference is that now he's able to blame Nancy Pelosi as though it's her fault that it's not being built. You know, they don't want to build it. He says, well, I'm not going to give it. I don't care how long we keep the government shut down. And I think the majority of the American people don't actually care if the government's shut down. If you don't work for the federal government, you're not directly affected, at least not right away. And so this is the longest one we've had so far because this
except
is the 22nd
day. Except when
people
thought that we weren't going to get our tax refunds.
Right, but then they told them we would get our tax refunds. So they're like, okay, I thought I was going to care, but now I don't. See, and when I heard that we weren't going to get our tax refunds, I was like, does that mean I don't have to pay taxes either?
Right.
Should I just wait? You know, wait for it to reopen? It's like, oh, okay, you guys are open. So that's the sort of thing that it's like, all right, well, that would be another 3 months, by the way, if we did get to income tax day.
Well, I made my estimated tax payments a couple of days ago, so maybe I shouldn't have sent that in.
Well, we don't all manage our finances as well as you, Chelsea.
I'll be
at H&R Block on April 14th, all right? That's how I live my life. Right. At 11 p.m., I'll show up with a bunch of receipts and an envelope and be like, what should I do?
Yikes.
What were you going to say, Tamara?
I was going to say one thing that was the most shocking to me about this speech tonight was that I thought for sure he would announce state of emergency and sign that. And I think a lot of people were surprised that that didn't happen, too.
Yeah, I think that there was the expectation that he might. But I think that by the time he went to deliver the speech, I think everybody, the word was out that he'd been advised against it.
Yes,
I think if this goes a little...
We know how well he listens to advice.
I do think there's a couple people, and at any given time it changes who the people are, but there's a couple of people that he listens to. And I just have a hunch that one of them's Ivanka. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's only so many times that she can, you know, get in his ear and tell him something.
I think that's giving her perhaps too much credit. I don't know where you get this idea that it's coming from her.
I just feel like that's one of the only people that, like, if you look at everybody, it's like, well, who's he going to listen to? You know, Pence says it's a joke. I just thought it'd be funny to say it. But I think that he's going to see how this goes. And, you know,
I think even Alan Dershowitz was like, this is not going to fly. And that's probably who he listened to on this.
Yeah. At another, you know, I think that they want to see how it goes. And, you know, look, from the optics standpoint of who looked better on television, he came off better than Pelosi and Schumer. But
that's true. Somebody said it looked like an opening of a Saturday Night Live skit. And I was like, oh, gosh, that was a good dig, because for a second I thought that, too.
That's what Pelosi and Schumer looked like. Mm-hmm. Somebody just did a screen grab of it, and they said, like, is Nancy Pelosi using a Snapchat filter? Just they looked weird. That's all it is. Both of them looked very unnatural.
Overdone, yeah.
It was like that American Gothic painting, you know, the farmer and his wife.
And I don't want to be like making like makeup commentary.
But here's the thing: is like
it's
so important what you look like on television. Yeah. And like I said before, you just need to look a little bit normal when you follow Donald Trump. And then it's just like, well, they're weird too. I don't think I like anything anybody has to say.
I saw Nancy Pelosi only briefly. I could watch it on MSNBC, sort of like a town hall with, you know, her as the new speaker or re-speaker. I don't know what we call that. And she sounds like me trying to talk. But she's been in politics for a long time. Like every word was difficult for her to get out, and she had to think very carefully. And it was painful to watch. And I couldn't stick with it very long because I got as uncomfortable watching her as I get when sometimes I try and watch myself. And I just think that these people may, I don't know, need improv class or I don't know, Tamara, maybe you could.
Well, I mean, I think that
Nancy Pelosi.
I think Nancy Pelosi is the band that should have stopped touring 4 or 5 years ago, aww, but she had a new album out, so she felt like she should go out on the road one more time. I said before November that I just thought, you know, a fresh face for Democrats would go a long way, and, you know, maybe having somebody next to Chuck Schumer who was, you know, at least a little bit more engaging or photogenic than he was. But they just both, you know, they both looked like the paint on the wall behind them, you know, and were
there's
about
actually
as
flags.
They were about as interesting. Well, you know, it's just for the I don't know, Tamara, to Chelsea's question, do you think that they should join a Herald team at Upright Citizens Brigade and start working on long form improv?
I'll be first to sign up for their indie improv team. We can do shows at 11:30 at night in a bar in East Hollywood.
Yeah, if they could just...
I'm very good at yes Andy, and I'm sure Chuck Schumer is too.
Right. And just a little somehow... I mean, I get that it's hard. I mean, I'd like to think in normal everyday life I can speak without sounding as sort of uptight as I feel like I do when I'm on the show trying to get the right words out in the right order with the critical, you know, voice in the back of my mind correcting everything that I
hope
just
our
said
bosses
and be
aren't
like,
listening to this.
What did you just say?
Chelsea's but self-critique.
But I hope, you know, if you're in politics for as long as they have, that there's some sort of training that they do so that they can.
You would think at this point in their lives they would be better at appearing on television. That was a huge opportunity, you know, to be on nationwide like that. And I don't think they capitalized on it in any way, other than to say, like, hey, everything you just heard was a lie. But even if you were watching Fox News, as I pointed out, you were just told that already anyway. Even Fox News was like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there that was not true.
I watched Nancy Pelosi, her swearing in and her first address as Speaker of the House, and I thought she was very eloquent and very... There wasn't anything lacking, in my opinion, on seeing that.
I mean,
that.
My favorite part was where she pointed out that she lost two of the pages to her speech, but she read it anyway. I like that part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That part was good.
Mm-hmm. See? The improv.
And then the bringing up of the children, which was odd. But besides that, like, I don't know. She can speak just fine as far as I'm concerned. But I wish because I was cleaning I was actually taking down my Christmas tree as I was listening to the speech tonight, and so I wasn't watching it, I was only listening, and I don't know what you guys are referring to. So
you
I
were
look
really
at
focused,
memes.
You know, that's something to keep in mind, America, that the war on Christmas never ends. Mm-hmm. Tamara was waging it just a few hours ago.
Sure was.
I took down my Christmas tree yesterday. I want to get to, before Chelsea, you chime in with your notes, there's a couple of comments from the chat I wanted to get in there. Shareable Texas, apparently able to join us because of the late hour, says, President Trump is like a friend-zoned dude trying to convince a woman that they're actually dating. So I thought that was actually very funny.
Clever.
Our Scott Brown points out Will Hurd of the 23rd District in Texas. Mm-hmm. And Shareable Texas also says, the only reason I want to be rich is so that Chelsea can help me manage my wealth. There's a lot of reasons to be rich,
well,
and there's
actually,
one right there.
Actually, I help people who are not quite wealthy learn how to manage their money so that they can more easily become wealthy and hang on to it rather than lose it all like many rich people do.
And because we're giving so many shouts to Shareable Texas, he apparently also does Herald Improv. Anyway, what were you going to say, Chelsea?
Sorry, Shareable
Well,
Texas.
It reminded me of what Tamara said when she was talking about children. And one of the things that Trump said was that coyotes were, let me see, look at the line. Cause
yeah,
I
they're always
could,
trying to kill roadrunners.
Human pawns,
terrible.
That women and children were human pawns by coyotes and gangs. Clearly, he doesn't know how this works. You hire a coyote to bring you over, and yes, the coyotes then do take advantage of people, including in sexually abusing women that are coming over. I've heard that directly from the mouths of people who have made the journey across. But the coyotes and the gangs is the reason why they then came over by caravan. So if you don't like the coyotes taking advantage of people, then you understand the reason for this huge caravan, because they felt that there were safety in numbers.
Right. And we don't hear much about the caravan, but I feel like they're just hanging out in Tijuana, right? Still waiting. I mean, this would have been amp time to give us an update on the caravan, but I sure haven't heard.
I would have really liked to hear what Trump thought of the new president of Mexico, his idea, which is something that I've been talking about, trying to help these countries rebuild their infrastructure and their economies. They're probably going to have to need some help cleaning out the corruption that exists there. But if we were to, God forbid, give some money, but actually go in there and help rebuild what we've destroyed. I realize that what comes to mind, even for me, is like Afghanistan. We destroyed it, and then we're going back in and trying to rebuild it. And that is, by my understanding, pretty disastrous about the amount of money that we have wasted doing that. But I wish that there was a efficient way that we can go and help these countries rebuild, not because of some charity contribution, but because we really have destroyed these countries physically, economically, and that is why people are coming here. I think it was Trump who said that people are coming here because policies that we have encourage people to come here. Well, that's not it at all. It's that people are so desperate to survive and live that they are encouraged to come here. And another thing that Trump said about children was that he wants a humane way to return children to their homes, which is like
completely ignoring humane. The fact that he's the reason that they were taken from their parents.
Well, and also that it's similar to talking about like humane slaughter, because in other words, there's not really a humane way to do that because you're killing something. But to do so, to return these kids where they come from, is very dangerous. There's a reason that they're fleeing there. And I guess he just doesn't really get that, understand that, or care. And I could be on board with having some enthusiasm about border security if there was some real compassion about what's the real reasons and the real experiences of the people who are coming here and why, and some understanding of our history and the role that we as a country have had in why these people face the plight that they do.
When you were speaking about the idea of giving, you know, some kind of aid and support to Mexico, I just feel like that country is so far gone with the levels of corruption that any kind of funds allocated to anything, it would sort of be like when we were sending aid to Somalia, and this is 25 years ago, and the warlords just took everything and kept it.
Well,
you know, so I feel like it's like, oh, thanks for all this money. I'm going to buy a new car.
Well, and no, I wouldn't say giving money to Mexico.
I'm using Mexico as an example because I know how corrupt that country
Guatemala
is in particular.
And Honduras, El Salvador. I don't know how we could do it. I don't know if we could ourselves go in and, you know, with the government's permission, go and rebuild roads. And I don't know. A lot of it does have to do with the corruption. But part of the corruption is, you know, due to us. Speaking of, anybody watch Narcos Mexico over their holiday break?
No.
To see?
No, I mean, I haven't even watched like the three things I really want to watch.
I only watched the Narcos Christmas episode.
Okay.
Was there an island of misfit toys in there?
Yeah. One of the drug lords' nose lit up, and it was a whole...
But not for the reasons you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a cry for help. But I haven't, and you've been telling us to watch it for a long time.
Can I count on you to get to that soon?
No, absolutely not. There's been a new season of Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix since Thanksgiving. I haven't even watched a minute of it. So that'll tell me.
Because you've been watching Tidying Up with Marie Kondo instead.
No, I'm not going to tidy up anything.
There's somebody I don't remember who I was talking to, but I was talking to
a
Republican.
It's a lot of Daniel Tiger's neighborhood.
Who was watching Narcos and was saying how much she enjoyed Narcos. And I was like, really? but the American version... but I mean, I assume that that's just as informative as to the reality of the the drug trade.
Right. What it highlights amazingly is the corruption in governments. And yet some people I saw are like, oh my God, the Mexican government is so corrupt. I'm like, hello, were you watching the same show I was, where the United States government was just as complicit, purposely turning a blind eye, was cooperating, you know, just the same. And again, I don't want to repeat all the ways that we've destroyed these countries economically, including with NAFTA and things like that, also that we can have, you know, cheap products and, you know, give our farmers a leg up, which is understandable, but then there's the consequences, unintended consequences of putting other people out of work and putting them into even more dire straits than they were in before.
I do want to spend a few minutes on some of the other things, but let's sort of tidy this up for now.
Tidy up. I like that reference, even though that wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, wasn't that,
see, natural improviser. You can't turn it off.
Yes, that's true. Obviously, I was going to be quiet for a minute and stare into the camera, but I'm like, that's not going to actually be as funny as I think it is. In any case, I think that I don't see much in the way of movement on the government reopening because, like I said, I don't think that people care that much. There was a joke at the beginning of the show about TSA agents. It's a little bit of a problem, but I think at some point, you know, they're all calling in sick right now. At least a lot of them are. At some point, you know, I mean, I know, you know, Reagan was able to get air traffic controllers to go back to work because they're not allowed to strike. So I feel like that's the sort of thing that'll happen. You'll sort of be forced to work for free. I don't quite know how that works, but
there's already a lawsuit.
He'll figure it out, yeah. You know. And I think that for the most part, people aren't trying to use those services. It's going to be super inconvenient for the people that are trying to use it, that are trying to get things out of the federal government. People that are, you know, so if you're trying to go, if you're trying to go to Joshua Tree, you're out of luck. Mm-hmm. Sorry, because there's no one to clean the toilets. Like literally, that's the problem. So I don't see it ending tomorrow or next week, you know. And I think that what would ultimately happen, for some reason, the Senate Republicans will have to feel like, yeah, we have to get things going again. I think if they weren't to get paid, which I'm sure they get paid during a government shutdown. So if they were to not be paid,
for sure the needle would be moved immediately.
Yeah, I don't know that would have happened yet, but yeah, it wouldn't go on much longer, you know.
Meanwhile, the LAUSD teachers are striking Thursday.
Yes.
So a lot of people out of work right now. Who wish they weren't.
Right. So, I don't know, Tamara, do you see the end in sight? And has today brought us any closer to anyone agreeing on anything?
Well, I do think both Republicans and Democrats want to, despite Trump's stubborn, you know, I will keep the government shut down for as long as it takes, I think most Republicans are not rallying behind him on that one and want the government back open, want these employees who are living paycheck to paycheck to be able to get a reasonable back on their feet. So I think both Republicans and Democrats want to get it moving as fast as possible.
I got the opposite sense. I got that both sides are more entrenched after tonight. I thought that tonight was kind of a dud for Trump inspiring Americans to see it his way. But I clicked over to, you know, Fox News, like I said, and I watched, you know, even Lindsey Graham say, this was the most presidential that I've ever seen this president, and this is worth the fight. And yeah, we're sorry
Lindsey
for
Graham,
the people.
Take his face out of Trump's butt any day now.
Well, I mean, you know, it ended up there kind of unexpectedly over the summer. So I think he's like, hey, I'm just going to ride this out as long as I can.
And he seemed to, you know, this is worth the fight, and we're sorry to the people that aren't getting your paychecks. But Hannity was like, you'll get paid back anyway. It's okay. It's very interesting that he was very, you know, dismissive of people getting their paychecks late when they're supposed to be the network of the little people against the elite. I thought that was very interesting. So I don't see any movement. I think this didn't move the needle either way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all the talk is like Trump can't give in because he needs to have this as a win. He needs to be able to spin it as a win. But I mean, I don't see any reason for Democrats to be like, okay, we're going to give you this $5 billion wall that we've already said you're not going to get. And, you know, it's like it ultimately comes down to, do people care that this wall is being built or not built? And I don't know how much people care about any of this, in all honesty.
I mean, I think, like, that if President
Trump, you know,
we're talking
about the majority of the country, you know.
If he felt that the majority of the country was behind him on this, I don't know if he would have felt the need to do this. I mean, this isn't something he does often. This is the first time he's done this kind of speech while in office. So he must have felt that he needs to persuade more Americans to see it his way. I don't think he's feeling very confident that he's got the support of the country behind him. I think he thinks he's got his base behind him, but that's not enough to get accomplished what he wants done. And so I think he, you know, thought that he would do well with this. I think he was originally he planned to just kind of go off the cuff and just say what he felt and be very, you know, dramatic and entertaining that way. And somehow somebody got to him and really clamped him down and got him to stick to the speech, which made it
Ivanka.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, it, you know, and to Lindsey Graham's point, it's one of a handful of moments that at least, you know, it seems somewhat more presidential. You know,
he didn't mispronounce any words. I'll give him that.
That's true. And, you know, it wasn't the way that he speaks when he's, you know, got a rally of handpicked people in the middle of the country, you know, to, you know, basically have a hootenanny of some hooting and hollering, but it was just him looking right into a camera, and I think he was very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but he definitely, I know there's no doubt in my mind he sees that as a win. He's like, I did really well tonight, and I think he's not going to be surprised.
what does he not see as a win? a porta potty could fall on him, and he would take it as a win.
every day, you know, it chisels away a little bit in the back of it. The fact that he didn't win the popular vote, it drives him crazy.
Yeah,
and if he could prove that there was voter fraud for the popular vote, and that's why, you know, and it's like, no, I won even bigger. Like I think that's the thing that's really got him, you know, driven.
Can I correct myself? It was Lindsey Graham who said that immigration is on the rise because our policies encourage it.
So you just fact checked yourself.
I did. And I wanted to put in one other fact. Mm-hmm. You know, Hannity was talking about 4,000 lives lost, and I talked about that there were 70,000 people that died from overdoses in 2017. I'm not sure if the 2018 numbers are out, but 40,000 so people died from guns last year in the United States, according to the New York Times. So just some numbers to put this into context.
But we don't need to get on primetime television to talk about that. That's not what's important as far as President Trump is concerned. I wanted to talk a little bit about
terrorists at the southern border,
the new Congress, and then also there's the new Senate. And Juliet, there's the first video is just something that I feel like we can all enjoy a little bit of, which is Mike Pence swearing in Kristen Sinema. Mm-hmm. I think I'm saying her name right. Mm-hmm. It's like going to a movie theater. Just the lack of comfort and just sort of the way his eyes are just trying to get through something. He's so uncomfortable. Swearing
in. Do you want to explain
why? Swearing in the first openly bisexual member of Congress, and also he's alone with a woman for a moment, so that's already going to be something that makes him uncomfortable. And you know, there's just a lot to take in. And you know, I thought that when I just saw a still photograph, this wasn't that interesting, and then I saw the video, and I was just like, oh yeah, he's every bit as comfortable, as uncomfortable as you would think he was. And I don't know. I just thought that we should share it with our YouTube viewers. Tamara, your thoughts as a jokesmith, as you watch Mike Pence be uncomfortable and awkwardly banter with the lady who apparently also likes ladies in addition to the fellas.
To be fair, I think it's not that difficult to make Mike Pence uncomfortable. I mean, if he was in this room right now, he'd be uncomfortable. He's probably uncomfortable at a Chuck E. Cheese. Any scenario you place Mike Pence, it would be like a fun. Somebody should make a color form. Those kind of old boards where you just like a cutout of Mike Pence and you place him in different scenarios and he looks unbelievably creeped out in every.
It's kind of a great idea, scenario. Actually. The cardboard Mike Pence.
Speaking of vice presidents, did you see Vice?
No.
Oh, come on, people. I mean, you have two little kids. Maybe that's understandable, but Christian Bale won for his portrayal of Dick Cheney.
He won a Golden Globe. You know, I mean, let's
be honest. Episode of the Trump Report, yeah. Sponsored by Vice, directed by Adam McKay.
He didn't win the real movie award. He won the Golden Globe. Okay. So the Hollywood Foreign Press liked the movie. I do like Christian Bale.
And I did too. Well, not as good as The Big Short, but
well, that's why I don't want to see it, because I didn't really like The Big Short.
Then maybe you'll like this more.
I needed a nap in the middle. But anyway,
this one was long too, but well worth it.
I think it's impressive that he looks like Dick Cheney. I'm impressed by that. Tamara, did you see Vice?
I did not.
Did you see Miami Vice ever?
No.
Really?
I mean, you should see. I have worn a white blazer and pushed the sleeves up.
Right? Oh, I do that all the time.
That's what comes to
mind. I've done that too. I mean, come on. No, it was an 80s theme party. But anyway, I guess there's so much more to talk about in the weeks ahead. But I guess one of the things that we should talk a little bit about is the impeach the motherfucker comments about President Trump that I'm going to get her name wrong, aren't I? Rashida Tlaib?
Tlaib, yeah.
All right. Look at that.
Good job.
I think I spelled it wrong in my notes, too, and I think I still got it right. Look at me. I don't think that anybody can, you know, get the vapors on my stars and garters. I can't believe that someone would speak about the president like this at this point. But people still did. We got a little bit of that. At the same time, it's like, okay, I mean, it's, you know, it's probably for other people to talk like that. But if you want to be an elected official, you want to talk like that. I don't really think it's a big deal. Do you think, Chelsea, it would be a bigger deal if, say, it was, you know, not 10 years ago, 12, 13 years ago, and it was President George W. Bush. So, you know, picking another Republican president. Well, do you think at that time period, people, it would be a much...
After seeing the movie Vice, I would agree with that sentiment.
Sure, but at that time, you couldn't have seen the movie Vice because it's from the future.
Yeah,
and the last time I checked, time traveler can't happen, although I do know Doctor Who Geek is in the chat, and I'm sorry to say the time travel can't happen because I'm sure I've made you very upset. But do you think that it'd be a very different reaction if it, you know, I mean, is this just where we are now where you can, you can call the president a motherfucker?
Yeah, that's just kind of the temperature that it's been raised to.
Yeah.
Not that it's a great thing, but I don't think it's worth any criticism.
No, I mean, I'm not going to chastise her for saying it, you know? I mean, it's like, I think that, if the antithesis of... Schumer and Pelosi seeming really unnatural and uncomfortable is someone being as plain spoken as that. I was like, well, take that. And I'm saying regardless of party, is just somebody that's able to speak their mind and how they feel instead of, you know, well, I think the aforementioned cardboard cutout of Mike Pence might have had more personality than Schumer and Pelosi. I'm just theoretically. What do you think, Tamara? Do you think that motherfuckers should be impeached?
Oh, is that my question?
No, not exactly. No, just thought it was a funny.
Yes,
way to
I
phrase
do
it.
Think that, okay. that he should be impeached, but I don't think I. It's a shame that we've gotten to this point where a congressperson will say that. I think we're all in agreement. We're in a climate where words like that are used now, and it's a shame. I don't think we should be there. And I don't know, after Donald Trump is no longer in office, I think we've established a new normal where things like this will just be said.
And the problem is that it overshadows the fact that it's like, oh, she's the first Palestinian-American woman to serve in the Congress. And, you know, anytime somebody gets sworn in on something that's not the Bible, that's always interesting because of how uncomfortable it makes people. There was a lot more to the story, but you know what? I guess that's a great time to make a statement like that.
You know,
when there's already a lot of attention being paid for, this is who you are. This is why it's unique. You're like, yeah. And look what I say about Trump.
I saw a breakdown of congressional, there's like, two Buddhists, two Hindi Congress people,
Native American women.
Religion-wise. But what was interesting to me is that far more. I mean, it's not surprising, but far more Democrats are just unaffiliated religiously than Republicans are majority. Christian and a few, just a couple Jews are Republican, but religious wise for Democrats, also mostly Christian, also a lot more Jews. Then there's like two Muslims, two Hindi, two Buddhists, and then but then like a good, I want to say like a third were just non-affiliated, and I just think that that's why in this day and age are only the Democrats unaffiliated to a religion? You know, it's just it's insane to me that Republicans are not allowed to be like, yeah, I'm agnostic or atheist or whatever. It doesn't matter.
I think in a lot of districts that, you know, Republicans tend to do well, you need to be photographed and filmed and you need to be seen going to church.
I 100% understand
it
why.
It makes a huge difference.
I just thinking about it, it just blows my mind that you mean to tell me that we can't, it just seems so ridiculous in 2019 that in order to be elected to office, you have to claim a religion.
I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know.
And I'm not anti-religion. I think of myself as a spiritual person.
Well,
so
you're
I'm happy
anti-Christmas.
To
we already established that, so obviously.
Because I took, Christian wants me to have my tree up all year round. Next year, I'll do that.
Just because you work with Santa doesn't mean that you need to take the tree down, okay?
You're right. I apologize. But anyway, I just find that so, that's just crazy in this day and age.
And I guess the final point that we'll make, thanks to Juliet for giving us a little extra time because we got a little bit of a late start, we'll incorporate the video that we don't need any audio for that it made the rounds. There was not really that much of an uproar against it because, like I, as I've mentioned, I follow a lot of conservative-minded columnists and just people on my Twitter just to see what's going on. This Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez video from college where she's dancing like if the kids in Breakfast Club. I was like, well, this is the first time I actually really like her. And it's like, this is great. This is fun. This is what people should do more of. And there weren't a lot of people, you know, making the point of like, oh, she does this, so obviously she shouldn't be an elected official. They already hated her, you know, so it didn't really change anything. I thought that it was funny how much we saw it, though, you know, because they were just like really trying to make this a story. And, you know, I'm talking about it just because I think it's kind of silly that it, you know, and, you know, she did some awkward dance moves in front of her office in the House after she was sworn in just to kind of be like, all right, whatever.
I think it was one of those things that came up to further divide people because I feel like Democrats are like, what Republican? You're honestly going to be outraged by this. And then Republicans are like, no, we're not outraged by it. And no, it just, you know, like it just came out in order to just create more division. So
yeah, I think, you know, because it wasn't like posted on like Breitbart.com. It was it was like Live Leak or something. I don't even know what the website was. It wasn't a partisan website, but they clearly posted it like, oh yeah, this is what's going to happen. And people are just like, no, I mean, she was just a kid, you know. It's not like she's
who didn't do those kinds of silly dances in college. I mean, which reminds me, well, now I am never running for office because I definitely have college dancing videos.
But back in those days,
we didn't have smartphones in college, so maybe I'm okay.
Well, but she's like 12, so obviously when she was in college, she's 29, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to misspeak there. But to Tamara's point, it's not like she's wasted at a party. You know, this isn't, you know. But honestly, in this day and age, I don't think that's going to matter. You know, if she were drunk at a party 10 years ago or whatever.
Then that only qualifies you to be on the Supreme Court.
That's true. Hey, speaking of the Supreme Court, you a little worried? You're worried about your girl?
Nope.
Missed her second day today.
Those ribs are coming back better than ever.
I'm just saying that I thought she'd be ready to work.
She's fine.
But what I did want to talk about, and the reason why I showed the video anyway, is the this idea that what you're getting a lot more attention of is she's saying that the wealthiest people should pay a 70% tax rate. And I feel like Chelsea would agree with that. Like, wealthy people should spend, like, more than half their money on taxes, right? I just don't understand any – I don't pretend to understand these things.
Let's remember that what she is suggesting is that people who earn over $10 million
should – All of my friends –
which is, and it wouldn't, if they earn $10 million, it's not that the whole $10 million would be taxed at 70%. Mm-hmm. It's that the first $10 million are taxed progressively, like, you know, mm-hmm. the rest. And then after that $10 million mark, then it would be 70%.
I mean, I wouldn't be friends with someone who has less than $10 million. So I'm talking about people with like $1 billion.
Also, this is, Reagan proposed that people who earn over $200,000 get taxed like 60%. So in the scheme of where this stands, over the last, you know, 40 years, this is not even that outrageous of a...
Yeah, we've had it. We've had it we've that had, high. We've had it higher, like in 90%.
And, so. And also you have like, you know, some of the wealthiest, you know, entertainers, mostly it's rock stars who become American citizens because in the UK, it's like 90%. You know, after, I don't know what the cutoff is, but there is literally a 90% tax rate over a certain amount. So if you're Paul McCartney or Robert Plant, you're like, I don't want to give all this money to taxes when I go to America where they let me keep all my rich guy money. But
it's not something that I'm like, yes, enthusiastic about it. I think that we can do better with the money that we already have and then see if after that, then we actually do need more. But I think that we should first focus on allocating our money to reflect more of our values, which for me largely means less on the military, more on education and infrastructure. But I think that we can have an effective, strong military and decent infrastructure and education with the tax money that's already collected pre-Trump tax
education for public cuts. Schools, not charter schools. Support LAUSD yes. teachers.
Thank you for saying that.
What she should say is that what she wants to do with that higher tax rate is pay for the wall, and then people aren't going to know how to, you know, then nobody's going to know how to weigh in on her. You know, they're just going to yeah. be like, oh, but I hate it. Oh.
Okay, so we should, you know, we've got to clear up how we spend the money. Way too much goes to military, and there's a lot of things that should be, you know, straightened out. And then it's like, then after we're going to fund the military with the incomes of people who earn over $10 million. And so if you really want the super duper over the top crazy military, then we're going to have to.
I like that idea. I think that's a good one.
What do you think?
He didn't hear you.
I didn't because I was reading the chat.
Okay. Oh, is there anything good in there?
There's a...
Anything appropriate, I should say, that you could repeat.
Warren Buffett is for that high tax rate. and some communities live on rich people's property tax, like Palo Alto. So, you know, it's there's proof for that.
But the point is, I was trying to say about Reagan's taxing the rich, in comparison to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is that she's not that these ideas are, that's socialism, craziness. It's like, No, that's not that extreme. We've had far more extreme than that by a Republican politician.
But then she's also a freshman representative who has, you know, one vote. So
according to Whoopi Goldberg, she's supposed to sit down and shut up and listen.
Oh, no, I'm just saying there's only so much she can get done.
But you know, talking about these things, I think, serves the country because we should be talking about these things.
Shouldn't we be just talking about how we should just dance like her more often? Wouldn't we be happier? Look how happy she is in that video. Just dancing. You know, I think even in the newer one where she's actually in her office, she's like, we actually look happy. You don't have to debate things. I think 2019 should be the year of dance. Let us know what you think. You can comment on in the chat or at Trump Report ABTV on Twitter. We started late, but then we went a little long, and yet we still didn't get to any of the issues that we always want to get to. But I think we did a good job in covering this speech tonight. I think that none of us were as awkward on television as the president, the Speaker of the House, or the minority leader in the Senate. So I think we'll all give ourselves an A. So thank you, Julia. And our friend Scott Moore couldn't be with us tonight because it's literally past his bedtime. But we'll be back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific. Until then, Chelsea, where do people find you?
At Chelsea Galicia on Twitter.
Tamara?
Hey, you know what? Speaking of dance, look at my comedy dance troupe on YouTube called Liquid Feet.
Wow. Nicely done.
Is it feet like what you stand on, or F-E-A-T?
It's liquid feet. You dance on your feet.
Look, I don't know. I don't understand funny. It might have been one of those things. It's like skills with a Z. I don't know. It's liquid feet. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. Thanks for the very lively and distracting chat. We will see you all next Tuesday at 4 Pacific. Thanks again, everyone. Have a great night.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.